Father, we thank you this morning. Bless your holy name for another privilege to listen to your word. Lord, we ask that the entrance of your word will bring forth lights. As this month has been tagged our season and month of favor, Lord, let this word germinate favor in our lives in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you've heard us this morning. Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Spirit of God, minister to me to speak to us on the topic I titled Enemies or Destroyers of Divine Favor. Enemies or destroyers of divine favor. The truth is that we cannot be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Let me put it that way. As much as we are pushing on keys, a common favor, we are trying to know how to get it. It's also very important to note those things that are like weights that can hinder you from enjoying divine favor. I tag them enemies. Those things, and this time around, we're not going to be looking outside. It's within us. Things that could be a hindrance to divine favor. Hallelujah. A destroyer is a person or something that ruins something. It's something that ruins or destroys or spoils something. Of course, an enemy is the one that opposes you or works against you. An enemy will never work in your favor. Hallelujah. And of course, so many definitions have been made about favor. Favor, in my own definition, is a tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. It's a tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. So when we look at you and we could see something tangible, we could touch it. You are working from January to August. You are strong. At times you are feeling sick and you just sleep and up again, you are moving. It's an evidence that God is with you. It's called divine health. Some persons, they don't even have hospital card. If we check some of us, we don't know what is hospital card. Because, well, worst case scenario, you enter one chemist, mix medicine for me, just give me paracetamol, mix something there. You take it. Whether they miss correct or they don't miss correct, somehow the next day, you're back on your feet. You are moving. It's called a tangible evidence of God's hand. Some persons went to collect such mixing. And before you know it, they say it's poison. The chemist will not be explaining. I thought and I think and I did not think. It's a tangible evidence that a person has the approval of the Lord. The way you do things and all. So we're going to be looking at the key enemies of divine favor. Key enemies of divine favor. There's just a whole lot. We're going to be looking at this. Number one, pride. Number one, pride. The ultimate blocker of favor is pride. Pride. There's actually just one word God has for pride. There's only one word God has for pride. It's called resistance. Resistance. James 4:6. NIV. Resistance. God resists the proud. God resists the proud. He fights the proud. He opposes the proud. Look at it. But he gives us more grace. That is why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There's a scripture that called it, gives favor to the humble. Pride is an enemy of favor. Even as I'm saying it now, some of us are feeling, pride. Me, I'm not proud now. Do I have millions? Do I have billions? You know, whenever we think of pride, what comes to our mind is, that man that is very wealthy, that is driving one powerful jeep that works like this. And in our mind, we are not part of it. Praise God. But we're going to see things that showcases a man who has pride. The moment correction comes to you, and you feel angry, you are proud. My sister, they tell you today that the skirt you're wearing is short. And all of a sudden, That woman is your enemy, is your is pride. We need to see how God see people in the scriptures and see how God tempt people who are, you know, how God see men who are proud or what God calls pride. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 26, 16 to 19. I'd like someone to read for us. 2 Chronicles 26, 16 to 19. Please, a fast reader can read for us, please. 16 to 19. Chronicles. Chronicles.
And went into the temple to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him first called priests of the Lord that were valiant to him. 18. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thy honor from the Lord thy God. 19. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rolled up to his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Please give me NIV. Give me NIV for 16, please. NIV. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. After he became powerful, his pride, it was the fact that he started going against the things God said, don't do. And the moment the priest wanted to correct him, what did he do? He was angry. Who are you to talk to me? So pride is not just when you see someone who is wealthy. You know, many of us, we tag people who are wealthy, proud. They have money, they are proud. And you don't have money. But small correction that they gave you, you are flared up. It's pride. It was not even the fact that he became famous. What got God angry was the fact that corrections came to him. And he didn't heed to it. You know, it will wow us how God judges things. Every day I remember the man called David. What did David do? That David's sin is so big that he was not supposed to be remembered. But what differentiated his life was the fact that he was a man who is contrite and humble at heart. You bring his sin to him. He is on the floor. Ah, have mercy on me, oh God. I am a man of unclean lips. When correction comes to you, how do you react to it? That's pride. The moment it comes to you and you feel offended, you don't want to speak, you're already acting in pride. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Let's see the things God says about pride and humility. You will see the one that can enjoy favor. It says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Give me Amplified. Give me Amplified. It simplified it more for us. Amplified. 1 Peter 5, 5. Okay. Say, likewise, you younger men of lesser rank and experience. So the moment your leader, your pastor, your HOD, someone in authority is talking to you, be subject to your elders, that is, seek their counsel. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Tie on the servant's apron, for God is opposed to the proud. The disdainful, the presumptuous, and it defeats them. This is what God does to the proud. Hallelujah. I cannot enjoy favor. I cannot enjoy favor. Let the pastor keep declaring. Let him keep saying some things. And my heart is puffed up. Is not humble towards God's word. You cannot experience favor. Praise the Lord. Don't forget that we're looking at the enemies of favor. These are things that could stop you from enjoying God's favor. Pride shifts the focus from God's sovereignty to human sufficiency. The moment you have pride, God is out of it. You feel your confidence. You know what you're doing. You know it all. Praise God. There were people in the scriptures too who this thing robbed them of what they could have enjoyed. Women like Vashti. We talked about it last week. Every day I think of it, I'm like, what was the big thing that was requested of you? Come and show yourself to your husband, your king. I'm even thinking, what if he decided, maybe what if she decided to come out and she just said, well, I'll use this opportunity and ask something for my king. And the way I'm seeing that king, you know, he lies giving half of the kingdom. You could have just, you know, parade and do all and say, my love, give me half of the kingdom. Give me half of the kingdom. And you have it. Let me have it. Hallelujah. Okay. She could have paraded and did whatever she was asked of, and even had the opportunity of asking for half of the kingdom, which is favor, or whatever it is that was bothering her. I don't know what really made her not to come out. Whatever that thing is, she could have had the opportunity to gain it by simple obedience, but she did not. May God take away every form of pride in us in the name of Jesus. And you know the one thing about pride, just like I've been saying, when you have pride, you will not even know that you have pride. That's the problem. People who are proud, they will never accept that they are proud. But I've told you one symptom you can use to know it. Someone, you know, why we always say the rich people are proud is because let them come on the way now. Let somebody talk to them. Do you know who I, they will come? Do you know who I am? Do you know? It's pride. The moment you don't feel comfortable when somebody speaks to you, especially when you are wrong, you don't feel comfortable. You feel like calling all the persons you know. Who is that small church rat? Who is that pastor? Who is the HOD? I know the day she joined this church. Why would he be talking to me that way? It's called pride. There is no other way. It's not going to be written in capital letters before you know. So we must watch out for it because it robs us of favor. Hallelujah. And pride goes before a fall. Pride goes before a fall. You cannot afford to stay with pride. Number two, dishonor. Dishonor. Another enemy of favor is dishonor. When you don't honor men, you don't honor people who are above you, people who God has placed over your life. Dishonor. It robs you of favor. You know, at times, we see favor as if it's one miracle. Ah, you wake up and somebody just suddenly calls you and all of a sudden you just gain one thing, you know. But most times, we don't look at the back end to it. But I can tell you of a truth. Most people who enjoyed some kind of honor, some kind of favor, they were somehow where they put in something called honor that spoke up for them. You know, so many of us read about Solomon. Solomon did this. Solomon did, but he honored God. He honored God with 1,000 sacrifices. It's called honor. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:6, says the gift of a man makes way for him. If you're going to enjoy favor, you must be a man of honor. You can't be somebody who doesn't have honor, and you expect God to favor you. The truth is that. We always say it. Even the blessings of God is inside men. Is inside men. It's not as if God is going to come down and show you this favor. He's still going to walk through men. And so many of these men, you will activate that favor by the way you honor them. Small, small gifts that you buy and they say, ah, you're blessed. There was something we did in February here. That was so fantastic. That the Jew is celebrating. putting. It's called honor. You cannot be hoping to have favor and you have dishonor as part of you. At times, it's not even money. The way you talk to your leaders, the way you relate to, I don't know. God obviously is bringing to us this word of, you know, how we regard our leaders, our pastors, where even our bosses. It's not just in church. You talk against your boss, you talk against your leaders, you talk against your parents. You are angry at them and you're expecting God to favor you. It does not work that way. God expects honor from us. What you can't honor, you cannot own it. You don't honor this, you can't have it. And the worst thing is, we find ourselves under such covering and we choose to rebel against it. That's already the problem. The moment you feel you are not at ease with how this is going, why not shift away from it so that you won't attract the curse for not showing honor to that leader or to that head God has placed over you? Praise the Lord. Another is disobedience. It's just like dishonor. Disobedience. If there's something you have to pick today, don't forget that no matter how good disobedience is, it can never attract God's favor. You know, we can be doing something and in our mind is right, but you are disobeying God's command, disobeying God's word. It cannot attract God's blessings for you. It can't attract favor for you. So go and kill the people, kill everything. Don't bring anything. In his mind, I'm bringing these rams and bull for sacrifice, but it's called disobedience. It can never attract God's favor. No matter what you are doing and you feel in your mind, I have intention of, you know, this thing being, you see people who, for instance, do prostitution and they feel, I will give my parents the money, my parents, it can never attract God's favor. It's called disobedience. Praise the Lord. Bible says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. The only requirement of enjoying the good of the land, which is favor, is obedience and willingness. We must shun every form of disobedience. God does not bless obedience, disobedience, no matter how good our intentions might seem to us. Disobedience is like rebellion. It cuts you off the flow of divine blessings. Rebellion cuts you off the flow of divine blessings. Let's look at Numbers 14, 36 and 37. Numbers 14, 36 and 37. You see what rebellion caused? Disobedience. Numbers 14, verse 36 and 37. Says, and the men, okay, 36. So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. That's called rebellion. These men, responsible for spreading the bad news, the bad reports about the land, were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. You know, I told you God resists the proud. Disobedience attracts God's judgment. He cannot give you favor. It's in case so that if you are experiencing any form of, you know, resistance from God, it could just be that there is something you need to check. Probably I've not been obeying. Probably there's something, there's a place I'm missing it out. And you begin to repent. They went to spy a land that God has already given them. Just go and check it out and come and tell me what you think. And these men came and all they are seeing is, they are giants. If we go there, it will swallow us. The Bible said God struck them and killed all of them. Rebellion, disobedience, will rob you off of divine favor. Another key enemy is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness, Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 4. Unfaithfulness, Proverbs 3 to 4. Talking about things that can rob you of divine favor. Says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. For 4. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God. When you are faithful, you can win God's favor. When you are unfaithful, you don't have God's favor. You cannot have God's favor. He has listed it out for us. If you have faithfulness, how much can somebody trust you with something? And relax. There are some persons around us that some of us can't feel free to leave our bags, just our handbags that has money. You know that you can come back and the person is telling you another story. But I did not touch it. It's called unfaithfulness. How can our bosses trust us with something and expect that we're going to deliver? I don't even want to come to church because most times when most of us come to church, all of us are forming holier than thou. But outside there where nobody knows you, how are you handling what has been entrusted to you? Some of us is even people's child that is entrusted to us. They are not there, but how are you treating them? How are you treating them? The Bible talked about the parable of talents. That servant that was given one. He says, you unfaithful servants. There's only one judgment for them. He says, cast them down, cast him down to damnation. You cannot be hoping to have favor and you are unfaithful with what has been committed to your hand. In this church, something has been committed to you as a worker, as a member. There's something that is committed to you. How faithful are you to it? I hear things and I'm like, people hold church money and they eat church money. Your destruction is so close. It's not just enough that you ate people's money. It's God's money that you go and touch. I'd rather even put in my own. If I feel that maybe, because at times I say people, they say they can't account, the account, this accounting is, I'd rather commit my own. Let me just be sure that I don't confess that kind of sin. Praise God. There are things you do and it hinders God's favor for you. There was somebody my husband once spoke with one time. In fact, it's over 10 years. He had to now come and confess to my husband. He has been living for like 10 years. He has been working, nothing to show for it. I don't know whether he spoke to him or something, but along the line, he had to now confess to him that there was a time he took church money. This is over 10 years. And they started x-raying his life. It's been a hard life. Hard life. They had to tell him to go and do restitution. Don't do things that will make you lose out of God's favor. And unfaithfulness is one of them. Another key enemy of divine favor is ignorance. You know, they used to say this sentence, ignorance is not an excuse. That you don't know is not an excuse. You don't know the things to do to attract God's favor. It's not an excuse. You will not have it. You will not have it. My mother always says something. If this is the standard to meet, to get, if I'm supposed to move here to get this, and you don't know, you cannot have it. If you like, stay here. My father, my this. You have not moved to go and collect it. You can't have it. It's called ignorance. So that you don't know is not an excuse. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. Christians are to read. Read. You want to be a CEO. You want to handle millions. What have you read? What do you know? Because the favor is not going to fall from heaven. You know, we are too quick to say, as you confess it, you have it. And you've not done anything around it. And you want to have the favor. It doesn't work that way. God will make us knowledgeable in the name of Jesus. Another key is fear. Fear and careless words. During our Sunday school some weeks ago, we talked about doubt. Let me even say that it's okay you've doubted, but must you confess your doubts? That's my challenge. Your account is zero. Must you come and say, my account is zero. You're speaking it. That's careless words. You cannot attract favor that way. You are the one opening your mouth to tell yourself, nothing used to work for me. If I enter DNA, it will not work for me. You've thought about it. It's even wrong that you're thinking about it, but must you open your mouth to speak those careless words? I know that man, if I go, he hardly talks to me. If I go, they don't used to. You are speaking words, careless words. It robs off favor from you. What about saying, as I go there, let them be rejecting others. The moment I come there, it opens up for me. The doors are open for me. This thing I do, even before I go to write exam, when I was writing exam, I speak in tongues. I understand everything I read. I know the fear that this course is voluminous. It's voluminous. It's looking as if you've not covered all. In fact, the moment I see myself in that situation where I have not covered, I begin to speak the word. The ones I've read, that's the one I will see. The ones I've read, the little I know, that's what will be said. And sincerely, when I come in, it's the one I know they will put up there. Speak words that can attract favor. Don't be the kind who is speaking things that can obstruct favor from you. Praise the Lord. Fear robs you of God's favor. People don't attain their maximum potential because they were prevented by the spirit of fear. Sometime last week, something just happened on my toe. Something was coming out. You know, there are so many things that could, you know, energize fear. But like I said, ensure that you are not gripped by it. And thank God, I don't know what I would say, thank God. Thank God for internet these days. I was also quick to start checking it online. Next thing, I was in granulomas and papillomas. I said, oh God. My husband has already prayed on it though. I don't know how. I just said, let me use Google. Let me even understand what this thing is, because I couldn't understand it. It's not pause. The moment I put on the stuff on internet, it was showing me different big names. So what's in it? And I went and chatted my brother, who is a consultant. That one now gave me, say, Ada, I'm thinking, Google this thing. Tomorrow, well, the word is long. That's how my heart now started thinking. Is it that it's tumor? Is it that it's, what can I call? Thank God for godly men. The moment my mother said, Shebi, I prayed over this thing. Who even spoke to you those words? Because when I prayed night prayer, I was not concentrating. I was pressing. I was checking. I told my brother, no, that what you are saying is like, it's not it. See me using my hand to give myself name on what has been caused. And sincerely, he prescribed drugs for me. I did not even use it. My husband told me, this thing has been caused. Leave it. It started drying on its own. Fear. Don't allow fear to settle down within you. The moment it wants to come, ensure you have people you are talking to. If you cannot energize yourself, ensure you have people you are talking to that could energize your faith and say, no, I refuse to accept what the fear the enemy is putting to me, because it shuts up favor for you. Praise the Lord. And more to it, ensure that your words are not careless words. And lastly, my time is up. Prayerlessness. Prayerlessness robs you of favor. You can't have what you don't ask. The Bible says, ask and I will give you the nations. Ask that your joy may be full. You want some kind of favor. Open your mouth and ask it. Demand of it from God. If you look at the life of Jabez, 1 Chronicles 4. 9 to 10. We'll read because of time. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. Jabez was born with a disadvantage because the mother already spoke wrong things about him. But what did he do? Instead of staying there complaining, you're seeing that you're not enjoying favor. There's this kind of favor you're looking for. I see some ladies, they tell me, in a whole year, no man has asked me out. Eh? Open your mouth and decree over yourselves. I am highly favored. I attract kind men to my life. How can you stay 3 years, 5 years? Nobody has that. And you are... But rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. It's an enemy when you are not prayerful. When you are not praying. When you are not saying things you want to have. You are not talking to God about it. Then you cannot be hoping to have favor. You're going to ask the Lord, say, Father, everything that makes me prayerless, everything that makes me take whatever I have as it is, that's my lot. You are not willing to change things. You're not as angry as Jabez. He said, Lord, that thou may change me, change my name. I don't know what it is that you want of God. Can you just go ahead and ask him and say, Lord, this kind of favor is something I am hoping to have. Grant me this favor. Go ahead and say the words. He is the one that said it. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. What is that favor you are asking God for? Go ahead and make those declarations. Say those words.